Today is the 19th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we greet another one of the shiny, sparkly weeks that we get to greet. Precious few of those left in this year, but hopefully many, many, many more weeks than we get to greet in our lifetimes. But this year, we're running out of time. But here we are, brand new week. We will read from the New Living Translation this week and picking up where we left off yesterday, last week. We'll put us back into the book of Ezekiel. Today, chapter 39, verse 1 through 40, verse 27. Son of man, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from the Sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Gog, ruler of the nations of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around and drive you toward the mountains of Israel, bringing you from the distant north. I will knock the bow from your left hand and the arrows from your right hand, and I will leave you helpless. You and your army and your allies will all die on the mountains. I will feed you to the vultures and wild animals. You will fall in the open fields, for I have spoken, says the Sovereign Lord. And I will rain down fire on Magog and on all your allies who live safely on the coasts. Then they will know that I am the Lord. In this way I will make known my holy name among my people of Israel. I will not let anyone bring shame on it. And the nations too will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. That day of judgment will come, says the Sovereign Lord. Everything will happen just as I have declared it. Then the people in the towns of Israel will go out and pick up your small and large shields, bows and arrows, javelins and spears, and they will use them for fuel. There will be enough to last them 7 years. They won't need to cut wood from the fields or forests, for these weapons will give them all the fuel they need. They will plunder those who plan to plunder them, and they will rob those who plan to rob them, says the Sovereign Lord. And I will make a vast graveyard for Gog and his hordes in the Valley of the Travelers, east of the Dead Sea. It will block the way of those who travel there. And they will change the name of the place of the Valley of Gog's hordes. It will take 7 months for the people of Israel to bury the bodies and cleanse the land. Everyone in Israel will help, for it will be a glorious victory for Israel when I demonstrate my glory on that day, says the Sovereign Lord. After 7 months, teams of men will be appointed to search the land for skeletons to bury, so the land will be made clean again. Whenever bones are found, a marker will be set up so the burial crews will take them to be buried in the Valley of Gog's hordes. There will be a town there named Hamona, which means horde, and so the land will finally be cleansed. And now, son of man, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Call all the birds and wild animals. Say to them, gather together for my great sacrificial feast. Come from far and near to the mountains of Israel, and there eat flesh and drink blood. Eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of princes as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all fattened animals from Bashan. Gorge yourselves with flesh until you are glutted. Drink blood until you are drunk. This is the sacrificial feast I have prepared for you. Feast at my banquet table. Feast on horses and charioteers, on mighty men and all kinds of valiant warriors, says the Sovereign Lord. In this way, I will demonstrate my glory to the nations. Everyone will see the punishment I have inflicted on them and the power of my fist when I strike. And from that time on, the people of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God. The nations will then know why Israel was sent away to exile. It was punishment for sin, for they were unfaithful to their God. Therefore, I turned away from them and let their enemies destroy them. I turned my face away and punished them because of their defilement and their sins. So now, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will end the captivity of my people. I will have mercy on all Israel, for I jealously guard my holy reputation. They will accept responsibility for their past shame and unfaithfulness after they come home to live in peace in their own land, with no one to bother them. When I bring them home from the lands of their enemies, I will display my holiness among them for all the nations to see. Then my people will know that I am the Lord their God, because I sent them away to exile and brought them home again. I will leave none of my people behind, and I will never again turn my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit upon the people of Israel. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. On April 28th, during the 25th year of our captivity, 14 years after the fall of Jerusalem, the Lord took hold of me. In a vision from God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain. From there, I could see toward the south what appeared to be a city. As he brought me nearer, I saw a man whose face shone like bronze standing beside a gateway entrance. He was holding in his hand a linen measuring gourd and a measuring rod. He said to me, "Son of man, watch and listen. Pay close attention to everything I show you. You have been brought here so I can show you many things. Then you will return to the people of Israel and tell them everything you have seen." I could see a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The man took a measuring rod that was 10.5 feet long and measured the wall. And the wall was 10.5 feet thick and 10.5 feet high. Then he went over to the eastern gateway. He climbed the steps and measured the threshold of the gateway. It was 10.5 feet front to back. There were guard alcoves on each side built into the gateway passage. Each of these alcoves was 10.5 feet square, with a distance between them of 8.75 feet along the passage wall. The gateway's inner threshold, which led to the entry room at the inner end of the gateway passage, was 10.5 feet front to back. He also measured the entry room of the gateway. It was 14 feet across, with supporting columns 3.5 feet thick. This entry room was at the inner end of the gateway structure facing toward the temple. There were 3 guard alcoves on each side of the gateway passage. Each had the same measurements, and the dividing walls separating them were also identical. The man measured the gateway entrance, which was 17.5 feet wide at the opening and 22.75 feet wide in the gateway passage. In front of each of the guard alcoves was a 21-inch curb. The alcoves themselves were 10.5 feet on each side. Then he measured the entire width of the gateway, measuring the distance between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. This distance was 43.75 feet. He measured the dividing walls all along the inside of the gateway, up to the entry room of the gateway. This distance was 105 feet. The full length of the gateway passage was 87.5 feet, from one end to the other. There were recessed windows that narrowed inward through the walls of the guard alcoves and their dividing walls. There were also windows in the entry room. The surfaces of the dividing walls were decorated with carved palm trees. Then the man brought me through the gateway into the outer courtyard of the temple. A stone pavement ran along the walls of the courtyard, and 30 rooms were built against the walls, opening onto the pavement. This pavement flanked the gates and extended out from the walls into the courtyard, the same distance as the gateway entrance. This was the lower pavement. Then the man measured across the temple's outer courtyard between the outer and inner gateways. The distance was 175 feet. The man measured the gateway on the north, just like the one on the east. Here, too, there were 3 guard alcoves on each side, with dividing walls and an entry room. All the measurements matched those of the east gateway. The gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. The windows, the entry room, and the palm tree decorations were identical to those in the east gateway. There were 7 steps leading up to the gateway entrance, and the entry room was at the inner end of the gateway passage. Here on the north side, just as on the east, there was another gateway leading to the temple's inner courtyard, directly opposite this outer gateway. The distance between the two gateways was 175 feet. The man took me around to the south gateway and measured its various parts, and they were exactly the same as in the others. It had windows along the walls as the others did, and there was an entry room where the gateway passage opened into the outer courtyard. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide between the back walls of facing guard alcoves. This gateway also had a stairway of 7 steps leading up to it, and an entry room at the other end, and palm tree decorations along the dividing walls. And here again, directly opposite the outer gateway, was another gateway that led into the inner courtyard. The distance between the two gateways was 175 feet. James 2:18-3:18. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we could be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Psalm 118, 1 through 18. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Proverbs 28:2. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the beginning, this fresh start to another week. And we thank you for all of the festivities that begin to happen around this time of year and all that is coming for us. We look forward to rejoicing, but most importantly, we look forward to your presence and being in it and with you and enjoying it with you. There is no other meaning or purpose without your presence in our lives. And so come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth as we continue to take steps forward on this journey. Enlighten our lives, illuminate our paths by the power of the scriptures, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everyone. It's Kieran in St. Louis. Hey, Brian, I really loved your commentary on the 14th. And you're talking about it's not always going to be easy. Well, I don't know where we got that idea, where we thought it was going to be easy when we became a Christian. Because when I read the Bible and I see what all the disciples went through and what John the Baptist went through, what these prophets went through, what Jesus went through. And I'm thinking, where in the world, who do we think we are that our life is supposed to be this wonderful, wonderful life where everything goes our way and we're it's pride. And I pray that when we go through hard times, that we would search our hearts, but at the same time, in all things, that we would thank the Lord that He is disciplining us if we need discipline, that He is making us shine like diamonds. And if you think about a diamond and how it gets tumbled, but I just pray that we would stand firm against the schemes of Satan. And one of those schemes is this sense of entitlement and pride that we have as Christians. I pray, Father God, that we would humble ourselves, that we would die to ourselves, that we would allow You to live through us, that we would shine bright, bright, bright for You, Jesus, and bring others to faith. I pray, Father, that we would stand firm in the onslaught, that we would get the pushback that we would get, that we would throw off everything in the race set before us to win the prize. We love You. We thank You. We glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, DAB family, this is God's Life Speaker. I usually call in for one person and pray for them, but so many of you, I would love to pray for everybody. But the ones that I heard on the 4th of November community prayers, I'm behind a week. God's Girl Warrior in Alabama, your two S's, Surprise and Sovereign God. I just feel like we could sit down and have some coffee together. Thank you so much for calling those in. Crush Without Christ, your 17-year-old daughter and her best friend and this relationship they're having together. I would say go out with that friend's mom for some coffee and just pray. Regardless if they're believers or not, maybe you are leading someone to Christ, who knows, praying for you and your daughter and that whole thing going on. Junk to Treasure, your daughter Trisha and her marriage and just her emotional state, plus that intersection where you lost your daughter-in-law. Oh, Lord, just praying for you to be covered in peace. Carpe Diem Driver, I left a message for you a couple weeks ago on the prayer wall. You are just a man of light, regardless of how deep and dark it may be in your current circumstances. You just keep praising God. You are such an example of how we need to just keep pressing in. Ride for Christ, moving forward in your hiring process for a job closer to home. Praise God. People on the water listening to you, praying for you. God is not surprised. Your God's Girl Warrior would tell you that. He's sovereign and He already knew. So we'll pray you up. Heavenly Father, thank You for every dabber out there. And the ones that I've mentioned, may You just cover them, guide them in truth. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, neighbors. It's Lisa the Encourager. So nice to talk to you all this evening. And I hope you all are having a blessed day. And I hope that as we approach the holiday season, that you all have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm calling in tonight to pray for Corey from Colorado, who is recently been diagnosed with ALS. And Corey, I just want you to know this really touches me deeply and closely, because my boss's wife was recently diagnosed with ALS. And so I understand the magnitude of what you are approaching, just because it's something I've researched more recently. And also our dear Christy from Kentucky and her sweet husband Mike has ALS, so that we're all obviously praying for Mike and Christy. So Corey, I just want you to know that I'm adding you to my prayer list, and I will be praying for you, thinking about you, praying that you will have a very slow progression of this horrific disease with no cure at this time, you know, but like you said, God is a able. God is able. That's all we know, right? So I want to pray for you, Corey. I want to pray for your three children that you mentioned. I just, my heart goes out to you at such a young age being diagnosed with this disease. So I just want to say I love you, and I want to reach out and give you a hug, and know that I am praying for you out here. Dear Lord God, I pray for Corey, Lord. I pray for everything in how this impacts her life, God, with her children, with her health, with her everyday life, God. I just pray that you are with her through every step of the way. And I know that her faith is strong and that she...
This is Romans 12:2, calling to pray for Sophia in Cheyenne, Wyoming, whose brother called in saying that the doctors suspect that there may be an issue. And in addition, she has no insurance. So I'm calling to pray, and we can ask our Heavenly Father to intercede on her behalf. So Father, we thank you today, O God, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, O God, that nothing is too hard for you to do, and that your hand is mighty and strong. Father, we come in faith this morning, thanking you for Sophia, and that you're able, O God, to calm her fears, number one, and her worry and anxiety that I know all about. I've been there. So, Father, we're asking for peace, number one, O God, that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and mind. That's what your word says. I pray, O God, that whatever issue that the doctors suspect may be wrong, Lord, Father, that you will heal today in Jesus' name. Father, we proclaim, decree, and declare your healing over her. We plead the blood of Jesus over her body in the name of Jesus. We ask for every single person, every single medical professional that's involved in whatever surgery she's going to have, Lord, that you would anoint their hands, oh God, and in fact, that you would be the surgeon. I pray that insurance would be provided, oh God, miraculously, that you would give them the wisdom. You said if any man lacks wisdom, they should ask God. So we're asking you for wisdom to help Sophia to get insurance to cover the costs of these procedures. But above all, oh God, we ask for peace for her, an encounter with you, a relationship with you, and that she may go into this, oh God, knowing that you have her. And she can stand on Psalm 91 that says that you are our refuge and our fortress, and we can trust you. Amen.